Father, thank you for your word. It is precious to us, priceless, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for each person that's come here today to worship you and to receive from your word. And Father, may our ears be open and receptive to the word of God. Lord, may we lay aside our preconceived ideas and preconceived notions, Lord, that we can freely receive with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. And Lord, may we be forever changed by the word today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you know, we've all seen the before and after advertisements. They show them all the time, with all kinds of products and all kinds of things, and they always depict the before picture as the very, very worst possible imaginable picture, and the after is just unbelievably, you know, touched up and fixed. And we've seen all, it's not always a true representation. In fact, if you read the fine print, there's probably something down there about your results may vary, you know, yeah. But I want to tell you that in the Word of God, there is presented to us a clear picture of the before Jesus and the after Jesus. For the child of God, there is such a clear picture of what life was like before and what life was like after. And one of those pictures is given to us in Ephesians chapter 2. If you want to turn there quickly, we're going to read from verse 1 all the way through verse 10. It gives us the before and after picture here. He says, as for you, he's talking about us, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us who lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts, like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show us the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The before picture is that we were dead in our sins. We followed the ways of the world, gratifying the desires of our sinful nature. The after picture is that we have been made alive with Christ, seated in the heavenly places with Him. We are saved and have become God's workmanship, created for good works. Now that's quite a picture. You need to get a hold of that this morning, that you are God's workmanship. You have been created in Christ Jesus. Isn't that amazing? God created something. He has created you in Christ Jesus to be His workmanship. We talked about this last week that Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And each and every one of us, God has made us by His grace. We need to know this morning a little bit of what that means when He says we are God's workmanship. His workmanship. What is He talking about? We are His creation, His workmanship. It is as though we are God's masterpiece. It is the same thing as it when a painter paints a beautiful picture, and that picture becomes his life's work. It is his masterpiece. When a composer works for years on a piece of music, it becomes his masterpiece. In the same way, we are God's workmanship. Now, I know some of you, you've been told you're a piece of work, right? But we really are God's workmanship, His masterpiece. Just like a potter who makes a beautiful vessel. Well, the Lord is our potter, isn't He? He's referred to that in Scripture. Just like a carpenter who makes a piece of furniture, a beautiful piece of furniture. It is His workmanship. It is His masterpiece. And that is exactly what the Bible is saying about us when the Bible says that we are God's workmanship. Some of you don't know what you are. You don't realize who and what you are. You are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God has already prepared for you. See, you might feel like a garage sale item sometimes. Just insignificant. Unimportant. Maybe used. But I'm telling you this morning that you are important to God. He calls you His workmanship. You are important to the body of Christ. And you are important to the many, many lives that God wants you to touch as you do good works that He's already prepared for you to do. You know, verse 10 tells us that He created us for good works. By His grace, He saved us. He made us new creatures, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You see, we're not just a piece of artwork that hangs on the wall. We are a masterpiece that has been created for use. We really are His vessels. And He uses us for good works. We were created in Christ Jesus for a purpose. And it tells us very plainly what that purpose is, for good works. And that same grace that works in us to make us a new creation in Christ works through us to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I want you to think about that for just a minute. He has prepared in advance good works for us to do. There are things out there that God has already preordained that you are supposed to do. In fact, the King James in that verse 10, it says that He has before ordained that we should walk in them. And you know, ministers or churches ordain ministers, but God has ordained all of us to do good works. God has ordained each and every one of us as His workmanship to go out into this world and do good works. We were created in Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. You see, God has created you. He has shaped you with special gifts and abilities, passions and experiences that make you uniquely qualified to do certain things that He prepared in advance for you to do. Isn't that absolutely amazing? That God cares that much about us. But not only that, He cares that much about the world and the people that we come in contact with, that He created us in Christ Jesus for good works that He's already prepared in advance. I'm telling you, there are opportunities, there are people that God has uniquely designed you and gifted you and graced you to minister to. We need to know that by His grace, He has made us new creatures, and by His grace, we can do what He's created us to do. It is God's grace working through us. God works through our lives by His grace. Now, I want you to understand something. We're talking about doing good works. Good works are not the root of our salvation. They're the fruit of our salvation. Amen. We do good works because we've been made new creatures in Christ. We don't become righteous because of our good works, but because He made us righteous and gave us the gift of righteousness, we do good works. Amen. But He is at work in us to bring about His purposes in this world. Philippians 2:13 says, "It is God who works in you." He's at work in you. Listen, it didn't stop when you got born again. That was only the beginning. It is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. You see, He has a purpose in your life. And ultimately, God's purpose is to reconcile the world to Himself. That every man, woman, and child, and teenager would come into a relationship, a life-changing relationship with Him. That's part of His plan and purpose. And that's part of His plan and purpose in our lives, is to do good works and to be a part of that. That, you know, He's prepared it in advance already. It's not an accident. It's not something you just stumble into. I'm telling you, God has already prepared it for us. And He has graced you with certain gifts and abilities to do certain things. Things that you may not be walking in yet. Things that maybe you haven't even realized or that haven't even manifest yet in your life. But I'm telling you that God has graced you with certain gifts and abilities to minister to other people, to do good works. Now, Ephesians 3, 7 and 8, Paul said, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His mighty power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He says, I became a servant of the gospel by the gift of God's grace. That gift was given him, he said. You see, you also have gifts that have been given to you by the grace of God. Your gift might not be to be the great preacher to the Gentiles. Your gift might not be to be a preacher at all, or a teacher, or a singer. But you also have been gifted by the grace of God. There are gifts that God has put in your life so that you can minister to others. Things that you are uniquely gifted to do. God knows the people that you will come in contact with. He knows what opportunities you have. And I'm telling you this morning that He is before ordained that you should walk in them. You know, none of us can truly change the life of another for eternity by human wisdom and human effort. It takes the Holy Spirit. It takes the touch of God, the anointing of God. It takes the power of God. Jesus said that apart from Him, we can do nothing. But if we abide in Him, we'll bear much fruit. And we need to understand this morning that it is His power, it is His anointing, it's His touch on our lives, it's His grace on our lives that enables us to be able to do good works that affect eternity. We bear fruit in our lives, it is only because His grace is upon us and working through us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning from verse 6, it says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God. And you see, there we realize our place again, that we just do what we're supposed to do and obey God. But ultimately, it is God's power, it is His anointing that makes the difference. It's not our effort. We just obey God. It is God that gives the increase, who makes things grow. The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers, and you are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation. Now listen to me. There is a grace that God has given you. It might not be to start a church, but God has given you a grace to do certain things. God has uniquely gifted you for certain ministry, for certain good works. Now, most of us that have ever tried to do anything for God have known some of the frustration of planting and watering and not really seeing the results that we expected to see. And I'm telling you, I really believe this morning, that that's because too much of the time we take too much on ourselves and we don't realize fully enough that it is God's grace, it is God's power that makes it grow. Too much of the time we still think it's about us. We need to realize that it's really all about Him. and it's His blessing on it. He is the one that makes it grow. It's His grace upon our efforts that causes it to be fruitful, that causes it to increase. You know, last week we talked about the gifts, the abilities that God has graced us with, as well as our weaknesses, how that He shows Himself strong in our weaknesses. So we need to understand that the gifts, abilities, His power working through our weakness is not just for us, but it is for others. That God's power flows through our lives. His grace flows through our lives to minister to other people. You know, I really believe that most Christians want to do something for God. They really want to help other people, but they don't realize that it's God's grace working through them. They're still relying on themselves too much. I'm telling you, we just need to learn to rest in the grace of God and realize that He is able to use us. You need to realize you're His workmanship. You've been created in Christ Jesus for this, to do good works. When you really understand that you've been made righteous, that you stand before Him washed in the blood and cleansed from all unrighteousness, then by His grace, you know you've been made a new creature to do good works. You can really believe that God can use you. Not because of what you've done or haven't done, but because of what He's done. He's made you a new creature in Christ Jesus. See, when you really understand that you're His workmanship, that it is God who has made you, then you can understand and believe that He has graced you and enabled you so that He can work through you to bless other people. Grace isn't just for being born again. It continues in our life day after day. We live in this grace. Amen. We are standing in grace. Romans 5:2 says that through Jesus we gained access by faith into this grace wherein we now stand. We're standing in the grace of God. It's not just how I got saved so many years ago. It's how I'm still saved today. It's how I'm still making it today. Listen, that grace works in us and through us to minister to others. Our inadequacies and our weaknesses, they're not a problem for God. It's when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I tell you, here's a revelation for some of you. We can't even help ourselves on our own. We couldn't even help ourselves. The only way we could be saved was by the grace of God. How do we think we can help somebody else? Only by the grace of God. Remember, you couldn't even help yourself. You can't help somebody else apart from God. No, it is His grace upon our lives. That's what saved us, and that's how He works through us. It is by His gifting, by His grace, that works through us. You know, Psalm 60 and 11 says that the help of man is worthless. The King James says, vain is the help of man. It's worthless. Apart from God, it's absolutely worthless. It brings about no eternal change. It takes God to truly change a life. But He works through us to reach people with the message of God's grace. Now I want to explain something to you. We're not just trying to get to convert people to our religion. You see, the world is full of that. All kinds of religions, they're all out there trying to convert everybody. Going door to door. Trying to convert everybody. Listen, ours is not just trying to convert people to our religion and our doctrine. No, what we are about is that the life we live before others, it's not just a religious life, but we are a life that God has changed, that He has made into a new creature, a life that has been changed by the grace of God. And our ministry to others is more than mere human effort. It's not our goodness, but it is the grace of God working through us as we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12 says this, now this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relations with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. We have done so not according to the worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. according to God's grace. See, many times the world gets the wrong message from us because what we portray to them is a message of religious works. And what we need to be portraying to the world is a message of God's grace. We need to make sure that that's what the world is hearing from us. The message of reconciliation. That religious works and mentality, that message cripples faith and causes people to shrink back. Because let me tell you, they all know in their hearts that they're not good enough to deserve God's blessing on their life. They know in their heart they're not good enough to deserve His righteousness, to deserve to be right with God and to be close to Him. So we have to communicate to them the grace of God, that we ourselves have been graced. Sometimes we put on spiritual airs and act like we're so good. Listen, if we're anything good at all, it is by the grace of God. And we need to communicate that to people, that the same God that by His grace is working in our lives today, by His grace can work in their lives. When His grace works through us, miracles happen. Acts 14, 3 and 4 says, Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of His grace. What message? The message of His grace. By enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. It says He enabled them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Now, who really did the miracles? God did. It's His power, but He gifted them. He enabled them to do miraculous signs and wonders to confirm the message of grace. See, God works through us in ministry, and it is by His grace through faith. God's grace always comes through faith. As long as we think that it's our goodness or human wisdom or strength, as long as we think that that's part of the equation, we miss what God wants to do in us and through us by His grace. Well, let me give you a couple more verses from John chapter 14, verse 12 through 14. Here's what Jesus said. I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in Me will do what I've been doing. Wow. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in My name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask for anything in My name and I will do it. Let me read that first verse one more time. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in Me will do what I've been doing. I'm not saying that you can claim these verses and disregard all of the rest of Scripture, but He gives us no other qualification here for doing the works of Jesus than that you have faith in Him, that you believe in Him. And see, we make it so complicated. We tell people, see, sometimes even the message of the gospel of God's grace for salvation, we give people the idea, this is what they're hearing from us. Well, if I do this and I do that, and I stop doing this and stop doing that, then I can be a Christian like you. That's wrong. All they need to do is put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and receive the grace of God, and He'll change their life. That's the message of God's grace. But what is even more prevalent in the body of Christ is that when it comes to miracles and signs and wonders and God working through His people, is that we start bringing works in. We think that it's got to be somebody really super spiritual. Well, if you would pray 4 hours a day and read your Bible for 4 hours a day, and if you, you know, would walk around super holy, then you could touch somebody and they would be healed. No! Listen, we talked about it last week. The Apostle Paul referred to those super apostles. We don't need super apostles. There's no spirit, super spiritual religious works required in order to see miracles. Jesus qualified it with this one statement. If you have faith in Me, if you believe in Me, then you'll do the works that I do also. I'm telling you this morning that it is by God's grace. We don't earn miracles. In fact, All of that works mentality and thinking that you're going to earn something or deserve something, it is the very reason that we don't see more miracles. Because it is by faith in Him and it is by His grace. It is not because we've earned it or deserved it. And what does the Bible say about pride? That pride causes God to oppose us. He opposes the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. You see, it's not about us being super spiritual. It is about us trusting in God and having faith in Him. Don't make it complicated. I'm telling you this morning, the Lord doesn't need super apostles. He used smelly fishermen. He used tax collectors. He used those two guys that fought about who's going to get to sit where. Sounds like some Christians. Here's the amazing thing. He uses those kind of people. Who was the first person to be a witness of the risen Lord and to get to go and tell others that Jesus had risen from the dead? Mark chapter 16 and verse 9 tells us very plainly that when Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Oh, well, that's nice. Out of whom He had cast seven devils. See, some of you only had one. He cast seven devils out of this woman, and she was the first person to see the risen Lord. Now, if you read Matthew, this, you see that another Mary was there as well. But here it tells us she was the first that saw Him. She was the first person to get to witness the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Somebody that had seven devils, and she got to go and tell others. I'm telling you, it is not because of what we've done that God would work through us. It is because of His grace. He has created us in Christ Jesus as His workmanship, created us for good works that He has already prepared for us to do. God has been using ordinary people to do extraordinary things all throughout the Bible, all throughout history. It is God's grace upon us that makes the difference. All we do is have faith in Him. We don't need faith in ourselves. No, our faith is in Him. Now, I realize that this morning we're talking about doing good works and ministering to people, and there's always going to be those thoughts of, well, you know, I'm not called into ministry. But I tell you, each one of us has a place and a function in the body of Christ. He uses each one of us in different ways. His grace works through us. And we're going to go through Romans chapter 12 from verse 3 through verse 8. Paul says, By the grace given me, I say to every one of you. And I want to make a point here that he was very intentional and deliberate about the gift of God in his life. And he says, by the grace given to me, I say to you. See, whatever you do for God, you need to realize it is by the grace, the gifting of God on your life. It's not just you. That's what makes it work. That's where the power is. As long as it's just you, it's powerless. No, it's by the grace given me, I say to you, he said. Do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. And there's that principle of humility again, that he gives grace to the humble. But rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Now there's a little side note for the church in America today. A lot of people just think they're their own person and they just do whatever they want. No, you belong to the body of Christ. That's part of what's wrong with the church in America. We have this individualism and this independent attitude that I go where I want and do what I want. No, you need to become a part of a body. You're part of the body of Christ. You belong. The Bible says you belong to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, I want to point out to you, he says gifts according to the grace given us. Every one of us has gifts. We have different gifts according to God's grace. It's all by his grace. He has graced each one of us with certain gifts. Not everybody is a preacher or supposed to be a singer. We need to realize that where he gifts us, he's going to open the door. He's going to use us. It's not just about our natural strengths, but where he graces you, I'm telling you, he will give you the ability if he calls you to it. But here's another important point. It is as God graces us with different abilities, we need to avoid comparisons. In America today, we are so caught up with all kinds of comparison, we just can't hardly even help it. I mean, some of you pull up to a stoplight, you're looking at the car next to you to see if your car's faster than theirs. We're so caught up in comparing. Did I do a better job than them? Are they? We compare on everything. And I'm telling you that comparison attitude is born out of pride. And it feeds pride. And here's the point. Don't compare gifts. First of all, don't compare your gift and say, well, they have that gift. I wish I had that gift. Well, my gift's better than theirs. And don't compare with others who have a similar gift and say, well, I'm a better teacher than they are. Or I wish I could be like them. I wish I could do that. No, all of that comparing is born out of pride. And it takes humility to bring the grace of God. He gives grace to the humble. There's no room for pride. And therefore, there's no room for comparing. Because comparing me to somebody else, all of that is just born out of pride. We need to put it all aside and realize it is His grace, it's His gifting upon our life. It is His grace that works through us to minister to others. Back to Romans 12, he goes on, he says, if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. See, there's so many different ways the Lord uses people, so many different types of good works, and each one is valuable and necessary in the body of Christ. Sometimes people don't realize that some of their gifts or abilities are things that God has given them. Maybe gifts and abilities they use in the workplace or in other areas of life, they don't realize that those are giftings from the Lord that He has graced them with to be a blessing in the body of Christ. And there's some that don't even realize the treasures, the gifts that they have at all. There's a story told about a woman who was known as a bag lady. When she died, everybody thought that she was flat broke. People went to her house to retrieve her body. They found trash cans full of money and cash stuffed under carpets and hidden in all kinds of places. She was worth millions of dollars, but her treasure remained hidden and unused. Now I'm telling you this morning, there are many, many Christians that don't realize there's hidden treasure in their life. That God has put a treasure, giftings in them to do good works, to make a difference in this world. They're not using what they have. 2 Corinthians 4:7 says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. You see, this treasure is the power of the Holy Spirit that can change a life. And it's in these jars of clay. Why? Because that power is from God and not from us. He uses weak vessels. He uses us because He gets all the glory. I tell you, church, we need to realize that that treasure is inside of us. And we need to allow God to use us every day to realize that that's why we are here. We've been created to do good works. Now back to Romans 12, there's one more principle we need to see here, that whatever you do it well. He says, if your gift is encouraging, encourage. See, he's cheerleading now. He's saying, man, get after it. If your gift is encouraging, encourage. I'm telling you this morning, you might not think that's a very important gift, but there are some people that will make it or not, but whether or not you encourage them. Now, some of us, we say, oh, well, I don't need anybody to pat me on the back and encourage me. I'm tough. I'll make it all on my own. Well, everybody ain't like you. In fact, most people in the body of Christ need encouragement. We need strength from one another. And that's the way the body is supposed to work. And he says, if your gift is encouraging, get to it. Encourage somebody. Start doing it. Do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Your gift might just be to smile at people. How many of you can smile? Some of you, three or four I see already. But some people, they just have a way of bringing cheer and joy everywhere they go. You know, not too long ago when me and Carmen went on a vacation, you pass through the airports and crowded places and you see a lot of grumpy people. Traveling can make you grumpy, right? And you know, I remember especially a few times when we were passing dozens of people on escalator going up and down and or on the stairs or somewhere where people were in a line. And it was amazing to me how that when people got to where I was, they would just smile. And then I realized it was because Carmen was walking in front of me, smiling at everybody. And when they got to her and they saw her face beaming, they just couldn't help to turn their scowl into a smile. Now I'm telling you, one person affected hundreds of people. You see, we really can make a difference in this world. But we got to use the gifts that God has given to us, the things that He has graced us with. We got to use those gifts. Some people have a gift for organizing. They just help things run smoothly. Some have a gift for taking care of little things to keep things on track. I'm telling you, sometimes we think that details aren't important, but details can derail you. You end up in the ditch if you don't take care of details. There are people that are gifted to help take care of details. See, if you're one of those people that you walk around and you see everything that's wrong, God didn't give you that so that you could be critical and judgmental in the body of Christ. He gave you that because you're the one that's supposed to be helping take care of those things.
Good preaching, brother.
Oh, amen. That's what I was looking for. All right. See, we all need some encouragement. Amen. If your gift is helping those in need, he says, do it generously. See, whatever he's gifted you to do, don't just halfway do it. Give generously. If it's leadership, he says, govern diligently. Diligently. That whatever you do for God, you apply yourself and do it by the grace of God. Grace working through us. You see, that doesn't mean that we give a half-hearted effort, but rather it means that in everything we do it with excellence because God's power is at work in us and His grace is upon our lives. But we need to get this simple truth this morning. It is His grace working through us. It's not our efforts, but God's power. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not human wisdom, but it's God's wisdom. It's not our own effort, but it's His anointing that makes the difference, that He has graced us. Each one of us with certain gifts and abilities to do what He gives us to do. The same one that saved us by grace, He also equipped us to do the job that He's given us to do. And even as we do it, it is God's grace working in our lives. Listen, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4 through 7, He says, I always thank God, now listen to this, for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way in all your speaking and in all knowledge because our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly await the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You see, because of His grace, we have what we need to do the job. We have what we need to do whatever He's called us to do, and whatever opportunities, whatever appointments are before us, He gives us the grace, He gives us the gifts that we need to do the job. So don't allow personal weaknesses to stop you. Don't allow some past failure to stop you, or some feelings of inadequacy, fear of failure in the future. No, but realize that it is God's grace upon you that makes the difference. And His grace is sufficient. One last verse, 1 Peter 4:10. I'll tell you, this one pretty much sums up the whole message this morning. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You see, God's grace, it comes in many shapes and sizes and all kinds of gifts, all of its various forms. All of us have a gifting by God's grace. And He says to do it to serve others. See, a lot of people want to serve God. Listen, the main thing you do when you serve God is you serve others. You serve others. We've been saved by grace so that we can serve by grace. You serve others, He says. Whatever gift you've received, serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. Do it faithfully. You've been gifted by grace to do good works, to go into this world as a new creation ordained by God, and to be a blessing to others.